because you know what? It's
the disrespect segment.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Mike Evans. It's time to talk about it. Guaranteed contract, got paid, supposedly the Bucks' best wide receiver. He ain't running away from me. He will get some contested catches.
His name is Mike Evans.
Mike Evans has been known to get locked up from time to time against corners with speed and size.
By who?
And this was one of those games where he got locked up. And those new additions. And who, wait, hold on. I want to know what dude on this podcast said put Julio Jones in bubble wrap until December. I wait. It's silent in Orlando this week. We had a whole nine-minute diatribe. It is silent in Orlando.
What you mean, silent? Ain't no silent. First of all, we still got another bet. We have a better record than your team. Your team won a game. And you over here beating your chest, happy because another team had offensive struggle against the number one offense in the league. And you really going to sit up here and make it seem like you Nostradamus, by being able to say, oh, your team, somebody's going to get hurt. Every team, somebody got hurt.
No. I know we're not talking about the Buccaneers going to win the Super Bowl 8 years in a row, and you got lucky when Tom Brady showed up. We're not doing that. This was based on science. This was based on science. Every year.
Four years, Julio Jones did get hurt.
I'm talking about
how many years have we been doing the podcast? That's how long I've been saying the Buccaneers gonna be go to the Super Bowl.
Okay, but every year on this podcast, when y'all got Julio, I said every year for the last 4 years he's been hurt. Put him in bubble wrap. He was supposed to be the difference maker in Tennessee, and he was not because he was injured. He wasn't even practicing. That's why the coach was pissed off at the beginning of the season talking about. If we could just get all our players in practice.
That's not his situation in Tampa.
He was at practice, but his very first play was beautiful. It was a 40-yard bomb, a strike by Tom Brady. What happened next? I'll wait. Put that dude in bubble wrap. Don't even mention his name. He shouldn't even be on the active roster until December.
I want you to keep the same energy when we get to the latter part of this season.
Oh man. And he didn't. And he did not keep that same energy because he ended up having to pay me a bottle. And we ended up in the game against the Rams. That same year, sir. So I'm really not understanding that energy you was feeling and thumping your chest. You know you really good at losing bets.
See, but my eyebrows grew back.
I'm just saying. That just brought back so many wonderful memories.
Since you wanna talk about me thumping my chest, I started off the podcast with the disrespect segment. Now that we're here, the monologue is gonna be
the disrespect segment.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Look.
Cool.
The disrespect.
Sorry about that. I praise a lot of times my teams on social media. My fandom, I take very seriously. We started a whole platform called Fat Mouth Sports because we get to talk shit about our fandom. And when I post my rappers being a basketball school, I don't go in nobody else's comments. I don't go disparage and make little comments about different things and scandals and whatnot. I ain't do none of that. It's a couple scandals that I could have brought up, but I ain't do it.
Start doing it. At this point, fuck it.
But I ain't do it.
Fuck it. Start doing it. Nah, cause I saw that and I was at work and I couldn't comment and say what I wanted to say because I was at work. But nah, start doing it.
So I respect everybody, and I expect everybody to respect my fandom. But when I post a praise comment, this goes for FAMU or anybody else I post a praise comment about. If you ain't see me come at your school because of state restrictions on contracts, because of problems with your infrastructure, because of controversies surrounding your basketball team, don't come at me like that. I ain't the one. Now, we ain't had the Bring Your Ass segment in a very long time. I don't think we had the Bring Your Ass segment since Meek Mike. I feel like we might need to institute the Bring Your Ass segment back again because you got a lot of mouth. You thump your chest a whole bunch, but I ain't seen you behind no mic. Air week, I got a hot mic. If you feel like what I say offends you so much that you got a troll like white people do, bring your ass. Bring your ass. We got a whole 2-hour show. I'm sure we can squeeze 10 minutes in so you can explain to me what a dumbass you is. And the worst part about it is you ain't never seen me make no comments like that and I went to a PWI. But it's always, oh man, HBCU unity. It's HBCU unity until you can get some disrespectful comments off. And again, anything that I hear about that, as Josh say, that school down the way, if it don't come from Dave, if it don't come from EB, I don't believe it. I don't. I ain't gonna disrespect your school because I know for a fact that it's just a couple of y'all.
What school?
That North Carolina A&T school.
You are disrespectful, but I don't give a fuck about them. Excuse me, earmuffs, baby girl. I give two shits about a damn Aggie. Two shits. Especially when it comes to the highest of Seven Hills. Now, we ain't gonna get disrespectful, but tread lightly, young Padawan. Tread lightly. Because I don't do the Twitter thing. I don't have them kind of fingers. That's all I'm saying.
So, again, and you know, it's some... And you know, hopefully Devron shows up tonight. But it was some D2 HBCU people that wanted to make some comments, and that's fine. I'm not gonna be, like I said, I'm not gonna be disrespectful. Marlo told me to be the better person.
Shit. What I said was I ain't never seen an eagle playing with pigeons. I ain't never seen that. So if the pigeons want to play, let them play. You don't have to swoop down to that. Then keep it a buck. If that's what we was doing, we keeping it in a buck.
Look, I'm gonna tell you like this. Y'all better teach y'all kids to be kind because I teach mine to swing. Right, you gonna find out.
Bingo. You know, my brother is a very kind person, and that's his thing. Everybody don't come for love from love. I said, Mike, we came from both, so that's everybody else's problem.
Right.
Hey, man.
I'm gonna meet back energy with energy. So if you come at me, just know I got cinder blocks for hands, and I'm great with words. Like, hey, it's both. We can't keep mean disrespect with love and light and positivity. Fuck it. Meet me on Perry Street.
What's going on, Doc? What's going on, man?
Hey, man. I just want to let y'all know. Mexicans got on boots. And if you don't know where that's from, shame on you.
Oh man, Ali, man, listen. You know what? And it's again, it started out, and I was shocked when I went to sleep last night. That was going on under my post. First off, I had to screenshot the little HBCU premier dude because he done blocked half of HBCU Twitter. So I had to screenshot it and then post it. And then to have somebody take my comment and take it to hell. And it's some FAMU people. If you want to go to hell, they're going to go right with you. Because I'm media now. I'm trying to be better, right? I'm trying to be a better person. Y'all won't let me be a better person. Like,
that's not true. We don't let them dictate us. We just keep doing us 100% of the time, and they can either enjoy it or keep it moving.
Unless you Bethune Cook.
And then it's absolutely fuck them on every turn.
So For everybody that was expecting to see Border Trustee Gibbons, I'm waiting on him. We're waiting on him to show up. Hopefully, he gets here sometime soon, because there's some questions that we need to ask that we need to get out there. But, you know, it's amazing to me that whenever FAMU has an issue, everybody has an opinion. It's always, oh, the black school did something, so let's have an opinion. But the absolute foolishness that went on at Florida State, which is probably, again, why I'm never going to get media credentials over there. We had an AD cancel a hiring. I'm sorry, a booster cancel a hiring. Then said, no, don't worry about it. I'm going to take the job myself. No experience. None. No AD experience at all. But y'all go put y'all capes on for that lady. But y'all ain't got nothing to say about the dude that ain't never been an AD.
Boy, if Bobby Bob was still alive right now, none of this shit would be happening.
None.
That sounds like a problem to me.
That sounds like some Elon Musk type stuff right there.
It's ski mask. Don't get me wrong. I'm respectful when I call him ski mask offer, because that's what he did. He respectfully put his ski mask on with his three-piece suit and said, the dude we just paid $100,000+ to get him out of his non-compete clause, we're not going to hire him. We're going to hire me. Broad daylight with no gun, hijacked the job. But these people ain't got nothing to say about that. But every time I turn around, it's 237. It's this, that. Oh. So let's clear some air. Since Devron ain't here, let's clear some air. Public universities in the state of Florida, when it comes to athletics, they have limitations on what they can pay coaches. Especially FAMU. So when you start throwing up the MEAC coaching salaries, where them schools at? What are the limitations on the state paying salaries? What's the limitations on that? What is required of the boosters to tap in?
You say y'all what percentage of his salary comes from booster contributions?
Yeah, like they threw up the football coaches and they threw up the Norfolk State basketball coach contract.
Which one? The women's or the men?
The men. They threw up the men.
The Robert Jones.
Nah, see, Doc, you just said it. They only pull the men. They let, if you're gonna say we pay somebody too low, I guarantee you it's a 50% difference between what they pay the men's coach and the women's coach.
But I think it's more on a. But see, here's the thing though. I think it's more on the gender, because remember at Norfolk State, the women's coach is a man, and he should be paid for what he's been doing for the last 4 years. That man should be paid royally, like, yeah, but I'm gonna do like what they did with Coach Cleary, cut the check.
They not though.
So Robert Jones, in, as of February 2025, this is the men's basketball coach, is making $435.76 according to HBCU Game Day, right? $300,000 is guaranteed or scheduling. I'm sorry, scheduling guaranteed games that generate at least $300,000 for the program. So they got a schedule $300,000 worth of salary. Am I reading that right? Scheduling guaranteed games that generate at least $300,000 for the program.
No, each game is going to bring in that amount of revenue.
So you ain't really got to go into the media. You can go into the sweat. Look at what the how much we paid, how much we got for Coach Mo, and you know he been there for 4 years now, and then we had Tamika Reed, and she was there for 6, and she damn near basically ran the whole conference as soon as she got there. Like, that's the reason why she left to go to Charlotte.
And that contract was Shelf's kids too.
Yeah.
From Charlotte. And they not I can't tell you the last time that school won any damn thing. And I knew people that went over there to play sports, basketball and football.
I mean, I remember Charlotte back in the day in men's basketball, but I ain't never heard too much of anything in women's basketball, so. But
and you have and I, they had but one I, hold team. On. So
I don't want to make this about checking the other coaches' pockets. That ain't what I want to make this about. I want to be clear, when we start having these conversations and y'all have all this energy, but when I start talking about media rights deals, you shrink. I've checked your publication, I've looked at the articles. I have not seen one article where you've written anything critical of media rights deals for HBCU. If I missed it and I'm wrong, you can tweet me and send me the article. But I haven't seen it. And I do understand in this media space, you don't want to piss off the wrong people because that might lose your access. I understand all of that. But at the same time, you a journalist, dog. We walk a fine line. I tell people all the time, I'm a journal troll. I tell the truth. I make some jokes. None of these jokes are disrespectful. And I don't want to talk about She Who Must Not Be Named, because people take that a whole bunch of different ways. But again, as accomplished as that woman is, as much as you've sung her praises, why is she not at your institution? And at a PWI.
Are you talking about Miss Sykes? Yeah.
Yep.
He said no names.
I'm just all of this energy, like all of this energy, it's stop. Focus on a real problem. The real problem is we have, do you know HBCUs, athletic directors, and dignitaries went to the Black Caucus and asked for some regulation on NIL and how it's going to affect HBCUs if they become employees of the university for revenue sharing. Can we put something out on the table?
Yeah, because that's money out of their pocket that directly affects them. The people that are lobbying against it are the people that you need to pay the most attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And understand what I'm saying. This is no disrespect to anybody, but based on media ad value, that the SWAC, I don't know about the MEA, that the SWAC holds, the media rights deal is ass. When you compare it to other fan bases that do not have the economic buying power as the fans of the SWAC. So when I look at a Mountain West,
but if you look at the media rights deal, or you look at how it was broken down prior to both the Florida schools coming in, it really wasn't too much of anything what we was, all the schools were getting. And we was basing this not based off no basketball, nothing like that. This is based solely off of football. And then once y'all came in, and then of course when Dion came in, became the head coach, it's like Dr. McClellan ain't stupid. You know what I'm saying? He basically jumped on the opportunity, like, well, shoot, we got Dion here. We got Hugh Jackson here, we got Eddie Robinson Jr. here. They all played in the NFL and everything. Of course, you got, the old coach Bubba McDowell at the time. So you got former NFL players that's coaching in the, in the conference and stuff. But it was all headlined by Dion. So Dr. McClellan hitched his wagon on that. And what we see now, I think, when we negotiate the primary rights, because that's the main thing we all talk about is primary rights, I think he's gonna go to the table like, hey, our product is better than what we had five, six years ago before COVID. Let's just keep it a buck, because before then our product was not good. You can say the same thing for the MEAC, but the MEAC is so totally different because they have their primary rights with ESPN, but their secondary rights are with, like, you got some with Flow Sports, which I hate. So you look at that and it's like, hey, this is what we got. Like, our deal, I think, is going to be so much better than that MEAC deal when they get to the drawing board, to the table, to negotiate. It's going to be way, way better because, like I said, Dr. McClellan, to have Jackson State in the Celebration Bowl, three out of the last 4 years, have FAMU in the Celebration Bowl 2 years ago. Like, you get what I'm saying? You can't beat that. You can't beat that. But we're not worried about the MEAC because I don't care what they do.
Shoot. And it's not, I don't, and again, the MEAC has an opportunity in front of them if they take advantage of it. Whether they see it or not, I don't know. I'm not I haven't been involved in any MEAC discussions with, you know, people in the know. I'm gonna say it like that, with people in the know. But the SWAC have they have a gold mine opportunity, and the other part of this media rights deal, the basketball has been good, and they've
so has the baseball.
Because in the baseball, it's been good. So why are we not seeing?
But not because. And I hope that he leverages all of that. I hope that it is somebody in the SWAC office right now that is keeping tally on every single sport that knocks off a PWI, whether it be mid-major or Power Five, even paying attention to how we are playing against those schools. We are putting good products on the field. We're putting good products on the court. But if they're not, that is everything, right? If they're not maintaining those data points, then how can you go back to the table and leverage more money? Because you can't leverage what we deserve and what we should get on one sport, football. Because the SWAC is very top-heavy, East-heavy in football. Just being honest. Since we've been here, and I'm positive, if I go back and look, especially once we got to this point in the SWAC, whoever come out of the East typically wins the SWAC championship, right, Doc?
Yeah, because this is either Jackson State or Fairview.
No. I'm saying even before we got here.
We still you know what? Because Southern was in the West.
Okay.
So before then, it was Southern was in the West, Alcorn was in the East before we.
I got you.
So you're right. You correct. Because anybody that come out of the East, win the SWAC championship game. And Alcorn done it four times.
So you only basing this on a one sided beef that we have in football.
Y'all doing?
And the West just beat up on each other, kind of, sort of. Then what?
The man of the hour. Ladies and gentlemen.
Troy, I'm so sorry, man. I've been running behind all day, but I could not stand you up. You my guy, so I said I got to get on this call and make sure that I'm on the good guy, you know, on you guys' website here.
Listen, I appreciate you coming on. I'm gonna get right to the question that everybody wanted to ask. Coach Prairie, last year, it was a lot of hubbub about his contract. It is my belief, and I just want to be corrected if I'm wrong, it is my belief, because of the transitions that were taking place, that was the reason that he didn't get a standard three-year contract.
Who's that? What coach is that?
The men's basketball coach, Coach Prairie.
Well, it's a lot to that. I think more of it had to do with the confidence that we had in the AD. And, you know, when you have confidence in your athletic director, you can move very clearly and precisely. We didn't really know him. But I got to tell you, the guy has us fourth in the conference now. We're moving up. You know, we got some really quality players. Not that we didn't have quality players before, but we have some quality players and some guys that are really working hard. And as you can see, like the other night, we beat Alcorn State. I went to that game.
Trustee Gibbons, I think instead of y'all in fourth, y'all actually in second place.
We're in second.
Oh, we're in second now.
We're in second.
Okay, so we're in second. Okay, so I'm wrong. That's number one. I'm okay with being wrong because y'all moved us up. But we're in second place, and the guy seems to really understand the SWAT. He understands the culture of the organization, and it seems like he's moving the agenda forward. So, you know,
you when you get a guy that you don't know much about, you're really cautious, and that was one of the things that we were cautious about. And I have to tell you, I think it had more to do with that we just didn't have the confidence in the AD to be able to pick a coach at that particular point. And now we're look where we are. I mean, so we're more than happy, as you saw the last board, more than happy to give this guy a contract, and we did, and I think it's going to work out. I think he's going to be there for, you know, years to come and move the program in the right direction.
Okay. Now, it is my understanding that coaches' contracts are limited by state budget. Is that limited by state mandate? Is that correct?
I'm not sure. I don't want to talk out of school. I think that you are correct. But we only have one employee as the board of trustees, right? But we do have fiduciary responsibility. We got involved in that one because we just didn't want to make the wrong decision in terms of a basketball coach, because athletics at FAMU is a big thing, and you don't want to be hiring somebody that you stuck with for years and is not a good fit. I think that Coach Creary's come in, done a very good job. Our AD, Angela Suggs, really likes him. I got to tell you, I've been close to her for years. It just makes sense when she says that. And so we moved in that direction. I think you're right about the contractual thing that the state mandates us to do certain things related to contracts. And I think, you know, we try to stay within those guidelines.
Couple athletic questions, but more university questions. So for the school, as far as getting corporate dollars in the doors, are there any corporate entities that you guys have been in contact with to get more fundraising into the door? Because we don't want to be in a situation like a Tennessee State where we're so dependent on the state that we end up being a slave to the state, if you will.
So I will tell you, I have the highest confidence in this athletic director. She is phenomenal. You got to remember, she came from the governor's sports commission. She has all kinds of contacts related to sports, right? And she's going to do an excellent job. To answer your question more directly, she's going to do an excellent job in engaging all those contacts that she's going to bring to the table. The other thing is, she's going to look at all of the contracts that we currently are involved in and see if we're maximizing those. And so, to be more direct to your question, we are outlining right now. I think she's doing an excellent job. I was put over the Special Committee on Athletics. She's doing an excellent job of outlining where we can go. In terms of a lot of things, even right down to our contracts related to athletic wear and so many other things, we're going to figure out, like, what's that right mix, and we're going to raise a lot of money. I think you'll see the boosters and other organizations are going to be realigned, and we're going to do some different things. We're not going to sit back and continue to do, you know, one of the things is FAMU has a lot of traditions. And they're all good. Don't trust. I'm not saying anything bad about traditions. But sometimes you have to move away and keep those traditions, but move away and do something different for you to be able to raise and capitalize on new relationships. And I think we're going to figure out how to do that. And I think at the end of the day, you'll see we're going to have a pretty solid plan when we go back to the Board of Governors and say, look, here's how we're going to pull ourselves out of this athletic deficit. And we're going to do a great job in terms of raising more money to help promote athletics programs. She's already done some stuff, and you'll see coming out in the fall, like the Champions group, we're going to have different prices for that. But I think you just see there's going to be some more aligned contracts and other things that would allow us to do merchandising and other things that are going to help us raise a ton more money. It's not going to be a year fix. So you're going to have, I think it's like a 5-year haul, but I think you'll see it steadily increase. And year over year, we're going to make some great gains.
Okay. Now, quick question. Have you participated in the Investing in Champions program?
I donate to the foundation. I have not actually given to the Investing in Champions program.
Okay. an academic, because the board of governors have had some harsh criticisms of FAMU's, specifically law school. Where has that gone? Because as a Florida State alum, I know that the Florida State law students in some years have tested lower than FAMU students, and FAMU got criticism for the Board of Governors because of it.
So, quite frankly, let me just say this. If you're comparing apples to apples, that would be fair. I am not in any way, shape, or form going to attack the Board of Governors. I think the Board of Governors has done a good job in taking the state of Florida from one of the worst state university systems in the country to number one. We are number one in the country. I think what the Board of Governors would like to see is that in all of the programs that FAMU has, they want us to be competing. They want to see our numbers increase year over year. And if you look at the university system totally, that's what's happening. Like, you'll see other schools, they may not be making great gains, but they are increasing and at least competing in the state university system.
I think we lost him for a second. Let's see if we can get him back here. Are you there, Devron? Yeah, I think we lost him. Until he gets back. Any fans that have a question, go ahead and put it in the chat. I've actually gotten some questions. I've asked Trustee Gibbons. So if you have any questions in the chat, just let us know. Jamal, do you have a question for? Can you hear? Hold on, Devron, can you hear us? Okay, so I think he may not be able to, may not be able to hear us.
I don't think he can, but honestly, you have asked the vast majority of everything I had wrote down over here. Okay. I see we do have a comment, a question in the comments. Asking if he is at least a season ticket holder for basketball. That's the only thing I see so far. I tell anybody else if they had any questions, just shoot me a message. I'll jump on and put it in the comments.
Right. Yeah. And the reason we want to have Devron on, because there's a lot of confusion about the Board of Trustees, especially the last, from February last year to now. So we want to try and get as much information out there as possible. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to wait for Devron to come back. But I'm very appreciative that we got Trustee Gibbons on, because again, I tell y'all all the time, like, I'm going to go straight to the source. And Devron is from St. Pete. Trustee Gibbons is from my hometown. Me and Marlo went to high school with him, so I'm gonna go to the source when I have
questions. He played football with me. I had a couple football questions and asked him who was the best football player on our team.
Oh Jesus. We starting that.
But fans, if you want to ask a question, just keep in mind that he can't answer any question that would contain privileged information.
Right.
You know, right. Or anything that would compromise the image of the university. Like, we're not
doing right. We're not doing that. We're not going to have him put himself in a precarious position with the Board of Governors. We're not doing any of that. But
at the end of the day, that would do more harm than good.
For real. Right.
And I like the fact that he said our school when he was referring to FAM. So he invested.
That sounds like ownership. Yep. And that's what people need to understand. When you
I ain't got no dog in this fight right here.
You have to abandon that renter's mentality. It has to be an ownership mentality. Because you feel like you own something, you take better care of it. If I go rent a car, I'm going to drive it into the ground. But if I own it, it's mine. I'm going to keep that same mentality with everything that you hold dear to you.
Absolutely. What you were saying, Doc?
I ain't got no dog in this fight.
but the one thing that And again, going back to what
I got you back. I thought I lost you guys.
Okay, yeah, you got you back.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was like, what happened? Did you guys hear the last part of that answer?
We didn't hear the last part of it.
Well, the last part is just basically we need to be able to compete. And one of the things that we're going to do to be able to compete is we're going to have to go back to the basics. Our students are at 3.9 GPA coming in, which looks like the rest of the state university system. And so with that being said, we just have to be able to compete and make sure these folks can come out and pass these licensure exams.
Actually, I did. I'm happy he said that, Trustee. Give me that. Actually, made me think of a question. I think it's amazing that the profile of FAMU students has gone up thus far. I know when I came in 2009, I think our average GPA was like a 3.3 or something like that. But it has raising the profile of the FAMU student kind of put us at risk of losing those kids that might need a little bit of extra help. Not like they could have. I'm from Gaston County, so I'm speaking for somebody that came out of a not so great public school system, but I still had the ability to make it through. So are there any plans, if you can answer it, to kind of create any programs so we can reach back and bring those kids along, great, so that we're not just,
you get great questions, right? Great question. So one of the things that Dr. Hudson at FAMU does very well is he gets these 2+2 articulation agreements. And I don't know if you understand what that is. The 2+2 articulation agreement is any community college in the state, and you get your AA, you will be automatically accepted into most universities across the state, right? And so what we've done is we've created tracks with the community college. So we go into, for example, I'm on St. Pete College Board. And we have that agreement. We call it the Rattler track or something like that. But the track is that you are accepted to FAMU as long as you finish your AA. And here are the programs that you can go into if you do this, right? So we've created that program. I know Dr. Hudson has also another program at FAMU that allows for folks who are on the get in to come to a summer program and prove out. Because testing scores don't always prove out that you're a good student. Testing, some people have test anxiety and so many other things. Your GPA doesn't always mean that you're a bad or good student. It just could mean, you know, your first year, like I went to high school and my first year, I didn't do nothing. Like, I mean, honestly, I did nothing. But I still had a good GPA because my parents would have killed me. But at the end of the day, those things are all relative to the student. Doesn't mean that they're a bad student. Doesn't mean that they're a good student. But yes, there are programs like that that we have that would allow for students to work their way out or into the programs or into university.
So, Trustee Gibbons, you mean to tell me that if you didn't have that good GPA, your parents would have crashed out on you?
I think we lost them.
I think we just lost them. I'm a, actually,
I have a quick. It's
not like his people was going to crash out.
When he come back, if he come back, need you to ask this question. How will the abolishment of the Department of Education affect how they are going to get kids in the schools? I think that's my biggest concern.
No, what was that? You said if I didn't have a good GPA, what now? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I said, if you didn't have that good GPA, your parents would have crashed out on you?
My parents?
Your parents would have crashed out on you.
Man, my mom and my dad was crazy, man. I would have been in trouble, man.
Oh yeah. You hey. The original crash out, you know.
Listen, my dad's a Baptist preacher at our church for 41 years. My mom a teacher for over 35 years, man. What you think?
Man, your dad would have preached a sermon on you crashing out.
What? He would have called me out in church.
The standards were always high.
Yep. Standards were high, but you know, I was telling somebody else this evening, the standards were high, but also, you know, he exposed me to a lot to make sure that I understood that a lot was expected of me and that I could see different things. And that's you know, in our community, that's tough, man. A lot of these kids don't get to see and get exposed to different things. You know, we as parents have an obligation to make sure our kids can touch some of these things that we talk about. right? And we have to do a better job of making sure young people get exposed to things. That's why I like college tours and other things that kids can go and make sure they see it. If they see it and touch college, then they can go to it.
Devron, this is Marlo Dickens.
Yeah. Marlo Dickens, how you doing, man, from high school? Marlo.
What's up, brother? My question is, when we was playing ball back in the day, who was best football player on our team?
It wasn't you, Marlo.
Hey, yo, what?
I don't think that way. I expected it to go.
No, listen, that's politically correct.
Marlo, I can't really say. We had such good athletes. You know, in our neighborhood, everybody was a pretty decent athlete. What I will say is you were a great athlete along with a lot of other folks, which is why Northeast never really got beat too bad at nothing.
I got one for you. Who got better athletes, football athletes? The state of Texas or the state of Florida?
Oh, man, what are you asking that question? Come on, Florida all day, man. The Texas guys have to do this. Tell them to look at who in the NFL. West State has the most players in the NFL and the second most highest amount of players from a high school in the country in the NFL come from Lakewood High School.
Snap.
My TP, alma mater, man.
That's right here in St. Pete, right? Hey, I think Miami Northwest, if I remember correctly, Miami Northwestern was one and Lakewood was two.
Yep.
If you want a quarterback, you come down to Texas to find him. That's all I'm saying.
Nah, that ain't true, man. Come on, man. Y'all done had one quarterback win the Super Bowl with the Eagles, and now everybody want to come to Texas.
Oh, no. Come on now.
Man, y'all done had one quarterback.
I got to get us back on track.
We just go X out Drew Brees.
It took him 30 years to win a Super Bowl, and you talking about, man, come on, man. He went to 12 teams before he got a Super Bowl.
Mahomes is from Tyler, Texas. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, you got one. We got one.
We got three.
Let me ask you this. All them guys like Nate Newton and all them that's in front of them, where they from?
Nate Newton, one of my favorite Cowboys. I'm a Cowboys fan, so
I'm a Cowboy too. But when you start looking at where you got to go to get these players, you can't win no Super Bowl without offensive and defensive linemen. I mean, last I checked, you better come to Florida if you want to win.
I agree with that sentiment. Football is won and lost in the trenches.
All of
their favorite receivers is from the muck.
Here you go.
And if you come ask anybody now outside of Florida where the muck at, they can't tell you.
So let me ask y'all this. When I went to the University of Florida, I learned something. When Fred Taylor and Redell Anthony got there, I learned this, guys. What it mean when you catch that rabbit?
You got that.
Everybody that catch a rabbit out of Bell Glade and all of off that muck, they end up in the NFL.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You catch that rabbit, you certified.
You certified. Well, you can. You run and catch a rabbit.
I got a question for you.
I have a serious question for you, though.
Early prediction. I know the game is November the 1st. I am a Jackson State alum.
Oh, my God. We doing this already? Too early.
I got to talk. What's the outcome?
What you mean? Jackson State against FAMU?
Yeah.
Expect a whooping, man.
Oh, okay. We expect a whooping.
Cozy had
coming to Tallahassee after I come from Vegas.
It's okay. You come on down. Cozy had a year. Now he know what he doing. and we gonna beat the brakes off Jackson State.
TP, go ahead. I know you had a question.
I love that sentiment.
So, Trustee Gibbons, with
yes, sir.
With the abolishment of the Department of Education, how is that going to affect getting kids in the schools? Like, what it had, like, has there been any talks about it? Are there any plans that are being put in place, you know, to subsidize whatever funding that may be lost with this turnover?
I will tell you that that is a serious conversation. Man, that's a loaded and big question. I will tell you that there's been a lot of conversation centered around that. We are really trying to heads around a new day where there is no Department of Education. We don't know whether it's going to be bad, good, or indifferent. I will tell you that the effects of it could be financial aid and so many other things could be affected by that, right? And so we are having serious conversations, and it's really one of the reasons that it's going to be critical that we get a good president at FAMU, because you're going to have somebody that can maneuver these spaces and also bring good political contacts to be able to make sure that FAMU is at the front of the line when some of these things are being put out, not only put out or to fund, but also being eradicated, right? And so we want to make sure that when if some things are being eradicated, our students are not affected negatively by them. And so, yeah, there's a lot of this going on right now about that. Dr. Beard is, you know, on the forefront and trying to do some of those things, but we really need somebody who can navigate this space and navigate the future of FAMU and getting back to making sure. And one of the things that's going to be critical is that if we are affected financially, that a president comes in and is able to raise real money to make sure that our endowment is big enough to make sure that we can do some of the things that these others are doing across the state. The Research One certification is going to be helpful, because even if the Department of Education goes away, that brings us stature in terms of funding for grants and other things across the country and the world, to be honest. And so there's some critical conversations that are going on internally, and we're really trying to make sure that we prepare ourselves, but we really don't know what the outcome is going to be yet, because we just don't know what's going away or what is going to be there.
Okay. So panic hasn't set in yet. I think that was, you know, I've heard a lot of people panicking about, you know, the whole situation. And I think, you know, like what you just said, we don't know exactly how it's going to affect you, but the preparation for either way is key in this situation.
Yes, and we're starting to do that. But what I will tell you all, the other thing that's key is not just being prepared for either way, but also remember FAMU's brand is big, right? And so we need to make sure we protect our brand at any cost and make sure we can utilize our brand, you know, as one public HBCU, the number 81 school in the country, public university in the country, to make sure that we can continue to promote and raise money for FAMU, whether the Department of Education is there or not.
He said number 81, and some school was bragging about 151. You know what? I'm going to be a better Christian today. I'm going to keep moving. Devron, what's the status on the athletics fundraising officer that was created to support AD Suggs?
I think, you know, they told me Marvin Green was having a job. I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, we have one employee as the board of trustees, and that's the president. So, you know, I have to, at this point, trust him on what he did or is not doing or is doing. And I'm not sure. I think that they're going in a different direction from Marvin Green. I'm just not sure about it. I don't know.
Okay.
But I will tell you that, you know, I can't get into the hiring and firing. We, you know, we have a fiduciary responsibility, and we also have the right and the opportunity to manage our, which is the president.
Okay. And so for fans that have asked that question, let's make sure that we not direct this at the board, that it gets directed in the people that do the hiring and firing, because
that's been a lot of
the discourse, just trying to find somebody to blame. We got to keep the people that are responsible for sections responsible for those sections and not bleed it over into other departments.
That's right. And you know, the other thing is the board will get involved when we see something that we don't think is going in the right direction. You know, we can make recommendations, but we can't really tell the president who to hire. But I will tell you, I have no problem giving my opinion on things, but sometimes you just stay out of it. And, you know, my focus right now is on trying to find the best president for FAMU. And if we find the right president, you're going to see a lot of great hires, a lot of people coming in the organization that can make some difference in the change. So I really do try to stay out of the hiring and firing because you don't want to overstep, right? Sachs COC has a lot of rules centered around whether or not you should, you know, as a board member, what you should be doing. And so I try to stay within those lines. Don't hurt, we don't get hurt. So long story short, I really couldn't tell you about that, but you're right. You need to direct that to the president because he has the ultimate authority, or she has the ultimate authority for hiring and firing. And we really, you know, we validate that through contracts and other things.
I want to thank you for coming on tonight because, again, you didn't have to. We just some little guys on the block. You came on and answered all our questions to the best of your ability, and I thank you. And as a St. Pete native, I can't be more happy. I couldn't be any
man. Listen, y'all call me anytime. I'm sorry. Let me first apologize about last week. My flight ran over. Tonight I had meetings in the office that did went over, but I was not. Troy is a St. Pete guy, and you got Marlo. You got all these St. Pete guys on here, man. I had to come on the show. You know I wouldn't do that to you, man. We all grew up in the same neighborhood. And furthermore, you want to come on and you want everybody to know, you know, that what we're actually doing. And you guys have a great show and you are trying to get the message out. And so anytime y'all want me on, let me know. I'm going to get y'all with the right person so I don't keep screwing up on the time and missing because that was horrible. I'm so sorry I was late. And I apologize to your listeners that I was late.
That's all right. Thank you. This will be available for anybody to view on YouTube again. Man, thank you for coming, man. We're going to let you go because we know you're a busy man.
All right. I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for having me on.
No problem. All right.
All right.
Good night. How the hell do you keep up with it?
All right.
I think I'm wrong.
Is he off? Okay.
Yeah, I just took him off. I just took him off stage.
Okay.
I just kicked him out. There we go.
All right.
So, I hope that answers some of the questions. I know there were other questions that people had been posting, and some of them, I'm going to tell you. Real quick, some of them had absolutely nothing to do with the board of trustees, so I wasn't going to ask them that. But there were questions that needed to get answered because they were concerns, and he answered them. A couple questions he could not get into, and I understood. But
I'm gonna call Marvin. I'm gonna call him directly. I got that's my homeboy up there on the yard, so I'll find out from him about that position.
Okay,
but
you're a cool dude. I appreciate him coming on and giving and spilling, you know, not spilling, but giving us the real.
Yeah,
because a lot of folks ain't gonna really do that.
What he can answer.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of folks ain't gonna really gonna, you know, they really ain't gonna do that.
So. No, not for. I mean, not we like Troy said, we small guys, so. No, just to come pop in and say this is what it is, this rocking out. So that goes a long way.
So again, watch the replay, man. Like watch the replay. Like I post it. It's live on YouTube every week. Watch.fatmouthsports.net takes you right to the YouTube channel. It's there for you to view. It was a lot of questions originally. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. Originally, the way this was scheduled. I was going to have Coach Query on Tuesday night. On Thursday night, I was going to have Devron. So we can eliminate all of this hubbub. And so the very first question I got to was about his contract and why his contract was the way it was. Could it have been done a different way? Probably so. But I asked him, in real time how this all shook out, and he gave me his honest. He told me, y'all all heard it. They didn't necessarily trust the AD. They didn't trust our decision making. That was the answer. So all of these think pieces from last year about what should have been what.
I knew that was the reason from the very beginning.
You know
what? All knew that, was the reason.
If he see this or if he don't see this, Stephen Gaither gonna have something to say about it, because he always got something to say about it. I said it. So, he can bring his ass on here too.
The bring your ass segment is back. So the questions was asked, the questions was answered. So I hope this brings closure to a bad episode. And I ain't necessarily gotta see it no more.
But if it, I do, it ain't gonna never bring closure to a bad episode. We just move past it. Like, people can keep trying to make something more than what it really is, but what it really is some people trying to better the university. And if people are trying to get in the way of the university getting to a better place, then damn them. Like, I'm on that mindset. If y'all got negative shit to say, ain't nobody coming to the table with any solutions or problem solving answers, then fuck you.
You know that's, what?
I mean, that's not just for family. That's for everybody.
That's for everybody.
You're going to always have some Negroes that's going to be the enemy of progress. Always. I remember I had Dr. Denard, that family. He said it. He said most movements and most revolutions are destroyed from the inside, because you have people leaning on the outskirts who might agree that it should happen, but it's not them moving it, and they destroy the movement. And that's for alumni, friends, family, whatever. You will always have some Negroes that are enemies of progress.
So
you gotta root them out and remove them, because that's the only way we're gonna ever move anything forward.
You know what they say? It's always the renter, the buyer, and the freeloader. The freeloaders be having the most to say out of anybody. Meanwhile, I done donated. I done forgot schools I done donated to. We created reasons to donate to people's schools.
Like, they're not putting no goddamn Bethune-Cookman up there no damn more.
You know what? We've been live for an hour. It's been an hour. It's, you know what? We need a commercial break. We just need a commercial break.
Yeah.
What the hell is that on the screen? That should say BCU donation fund.
We're going around the whole sweat, Milo.
In the fuck is it under my picture? What in the hell just happened? My bad, y'all. I tell you what,
Marlo will never hesitate to alienate a whole fan base.
I'm just saying, you can donate to whoever you want to.
I'm disagreeing.
You not put that shit under my picture.
Did we ever find out who did it?
It was Trey. Trey did that shit.
First of all, it's now a narrative on this show that I rile Marlo up and then mute him. That is true. Marlo muted himself.
Ailey, you was trying to mute him.
You muted me when that girl came on here.
He had to.
You know, we can't get y'all talk back on the show yet. We cannot get her back on the show.
I don't know why not. I don't have no problems with her. I just had problems with what she was saying.
Clearly, you got problems with accountability.
All right. So some news. Some news came out. As Doc said earlier on the show, Mexicans got on boots. The FBI caught the men, the Chilean men, who were breaking into athletes' homes and stealing their expensive items. Apparently, they thought it was cool to post on social media their wares.
They was in John Moran's house and they didn't get shot in Memphis. Bad look on Memphis right there.
Studio.
Hey, that's how John don't live in the city. John live out in Cordova, like where the money is. He live all the way out there. He don't live in the city.
No, don't say Cordova, because Cordova could be a hood in the too. City,
and he get shot.
He probably in Germantown or Collierville.
Yeah,
all I'm saying is
his neighbors
don't look like him.
At all. He probably the only one on the whole block.
Listen,
he better be.
Some more, I guess, some sad news. Wimby is going to be out for the remainder of the season with blood clots. These are the same blood clots that may have doomed Chris Bosh's career in Miami. So hopefully he gets through this. And I know it hasn't been a lot of time, but hopefully at some point they can get it to where he can continue his career and he doesn't lose a step, if you will. So there's that.
Very serious health condition to have. If you don't understand blood clots, look it up. But, you know, in short, if your blood is clotting in the wrong spots, you might lose the ability to get oxygen to your brain, which can shut your whole body down.
And yeah, I'm about to say the same thing with when Tommy Frazier. He had the
Frazier, blood clots. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Serena has had issues with blood clots. It's a common but still like scary thing. I think when I saw it, I was like, yeah, he done. Like not done forever, but he's probably not going to play anymore this season.
No, they've already announced he is out for the season. He will not play the remainder of this season.
He's done for this season.
How many games are they out of playoff contention?
I'm not sure.
Let me look.
Yeah, all of them. He can't play. It's over.
I'm just saying because you know they made the moves to surround the talent around him.
Yeah, so, they are. Right. They three places or two places out of the play-in. So,
I think that'd be all right. I mean, I
expect that number to get higher. They're going to drift further and further out of playoff contention. This is devastating for him and for the franchise's season this year. But, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully he's able to come back from this. This isn't a career killer. You know, nobody wants to see that. This was probably the greatest prospect we've seen coming into the NBA since LeBron. So everybody wants to see.
I remember that, and I wasn't sold on it then, and I'm still not sold on it now.
I mean, he's been an amazing
we might.
He was far, far, far ahead in the Defensive Player of the Year voting. So he was having one of those type seasons where he would, even if they didn't make the playoffs, he was going to go home with that trophy. But, you know, none of that seems possible now. We can only look to the future. So, you know, I don't know how many years Chris Paul has left. So I don't know. Window is closing.
Not very many, if any.
You know what? We are about to have a record-breaking 4 disrespect segments.
Here we go.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question? So you mean to tell me I'm supposed to expect that this dude gonna bring them championships? When he shoots the 3, there are 5 people that are around the key. Ain't nobody rebounding. How is that winning basketball?
And who is this?
Wimby.
I said I won, so
it's not about his shot selection. It's about who is rebounding the ball.
Because it's supposed to be you.
But if you think about this, though, he don't play the 5. He's not the 5. He's a 4. He's pretty much. Let's go back into time. He's pretty much Ralph Sampson reincarnated.
Ralph ain't never take 3 threes in a game.
But now that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he's Ralph Sampson reincarnated, meaning that
who is the other
he
big is man?
A better he has the height, he has the build of Ralph Sampson, but he can shoot the ball better than Ralph
Let me give you something that you probably didn't even think about. You said who down there rebounded? Ain't nobody got a rebounder if he go in.
Yeah,
but it don't go in.
You got to realize, shoot, if he
it ain't going in.
Yeah. But shoot, he only need like 2.5 steps just to get the offensive rebound. He's that long.
Yeah. Now you pulling up 3s. I need you to get back on defense.
He is average. He's averaging 8.8 3-point attempts per game and making 3.1.
How many rebounds he averaging per game?
Let's look at his rebounding. He's averaging 11 rebounds per game.
So that means that if he whatever he shoot, he's going up for the offensive rebound. It only takes him like 2.5 steps just to get his own rebound.
The next leading rebounder is a 6'8" forward named Jeremy. I can't even say this dude's last name. Sochan.
Yeah, Sochan.
Sochan, okay, from Baylor. He's the next leading rebounder. So that's 18 rebounds. What they need, about 30 per game to be competitive? I don't even got to look at it. I'm pretty sure they're getting out-rebounded every game. But again, shout out to this. It's
well, at least I'm gonna be to just like this. At least he's playing more games than Joel Embiid.
You are right about that.
We might have 5 disrespect segments tonight.
That is not disrespect. I don't think
that
you get level 2 disrespect.
That's the honest truth.
I am glad that they caught it early enough that he wasn't on the floor and just fell out and died.
Yeah, no. We're not disrespecting that. We disrespecting shot selection and who gonna rebound. I'm very clear on that. His health, I don't.
Disrespecting MB.
And MB.
The process, listen, the process did not work. It is flawed. That's why there's been so many people fired in that organization.
That man only played 20-something games this season.
But like I told y'all, it was going to be 4 disrespect segments. It's finna be 4.
So that means for San Antonio, that means De'Aaron Fox about to go. He about to go Super Saiyan on somebody.
I don't know why this app keep playing my drops twice. The United States and Canada are playing in the 4 Nation Face-Off Tournament Championship.
Crash out.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Wait.
It is 1-1 right now. They playing on ESPN Plus. But wait,
hey, they forget.
they ain't fight. But if they don't fight tonight, Kachuk plays for the Lightning. He could go down to Sunrise, which some of the Canadian players play on that team in Sunrise. If he don't get them tonight, I hope he get them next week.
Hey, who watched First Take this morning?
I did not see it this morning. I did not see it this morning.
I watched it, and PK Subban had some words to say about the players in the NBA, saying that they soft.
We don't call them soft.
Soft.
I mean,
we don't call them soft. Soft.
Capital. Caps lock.
Listen. I'm almost 90% sure McKinnon plays in that team in Sunrise. So next week, we can see some hands drop. So, apparently they heard them episodes when I told them they could take their behind the College Hill and learn how to box, or go over to Evil and learn how to box, because that playoff series they got whooped up on, and I ain't like it. But you had the old man, so I kind of understood it. Nah, the Lightning got some young boys. They got hands. If y'all win a Stanley Cup, I will be happy. If you beat some people up along the way, I will be ecstatic. Order will be restored. Because just like FAMU is a basketball school, Tampa is a hockey town. The football team trash, the baseball team trash, but hockey.
Wait a motherfucking minute. Did you say the football team trash?
You better apologize,
goddammit. Shit. You still a damn Raider fan. We can't take your judgment as gospel.
Mexican got on boots. That's all you need to know about the Raiders.
They better go hire some, because the ones they got in the building suck.
We'll talk after this draft.
Hey, TP, all they need to do for all the hockey players, they need to learn how to fight. Tell them just put on some big tuck.
Oh man! You know what? Tonight, I'm not gonna lie. I am excited about tonight's episode. I am absolutely excited. I'm really ecstatic about the fact that you were thumping your chest about 151, the 151st best university in the nation. You put that in a tweet and sent that on Twitter while talking about a school ranked higher than you. Like, I'm not gonna be the better person. That's Malo. God's still working on me. I'm not gonna be the better person. I just, you know what? Because I like Ebb and I like Dave, I ain't gonna go in. I'm back.
Oh, you talk about the pound puppies.
I'm gonna pull up. So I might have retweeted it, and I want to correct some things. I might have retweeted it or said it on a podcast. I'm not sure. I am waiting on Jabari Gassett's official 40 time, so I'm gonna wait until after pro day.
Let's wake it up, because the same shit happened last year with Yak, but they screwed up 40 time too.
I watched the ONG podcast and Blue Zach was on, Zach McKenna was on there, and he said there may not be a Legacy Bowl going forward. So I'm gonna reach out and try and get him on the podcast. He may be reluctant to come on the podcast because he don't like the fact that I say Joe Montana is the GOAT. So we'll see.
And who are we talking about here?
Zach Blue.
Oh man.
No.
You know.
No. Oh man.
But don't get me started. I'm a Blue. We found out on the podcast that Blue is a Bucks fan. So that made me understand everything I need to understand about Blue. He crazy like Marlo. Well, he ain't hear that.
They keep throwing these words out there. Like, I'm not, I can't hear you. I'm right here. I can hear you. This is goddamn crazy.
You do know we have a whole promo based on your craziness. Promo. Oh man, speaking of North Carolina A&T, North Carolina A&T men's basketball program got a win tonight against, I don't know who the Camel people are. Whoever the Joe Cool people are, that's who they are. Elon, is that the Camel people?
Nobody, yeah, nobody the knows. Phoenix.
Yeah.
Is that, well, it's the Camel. No, that's, it's Campbell. Was that Campbell? I don't know. Anyway, you know what? I'm gonna do better. I'm being disrespectful. I'm gonna do better. Did I miss anything? We had a real jam packed hour and 20 minutes. Did I miss anything? Well, since I today I got to go to my son's STEM day or STEM night at his school. While I'm at his STEM night, I got an email from his teacher about his day. My son apparently got into some trouble today, and the teacher asked him to give the book back or give the book to a girl. And his response to the teacher was, I'm black, I'm not a slave, she can get it herself.
Time to crash out.
Was the girl white?
Oh, well, it's crash out, but it was justifiable right there.
Like, why you asking me to go get her the book? Why she can't go get it herself? And it's Black History Month.
You don't understand where I was when I read this email. I was amongst a bunch of parents in an event. And you could see my eyes turn red and smoke come out, hit my ears. Because I read the email. You know how you read over something and you keep going? I read over the email when we was pulling in. His mama called me and said, your son pulled a race card today. And I was aghast. I was aghast. I was like, what? You don't know nothing. Like, that's not even him. Clearly, I am wrong. Clearly, he is his daddy's son. And we have to work on his filter. Because my son is in this whole I need to tell the truth mode in life. And the problem with his truth is it has gotten disrespectful sometimes. He has... I'm saying all this to say when you preach the truth to your children, make sure you teach them the nuances too, because my son is literal and he speaks his mind. We just got him to stop calling his classmate a big back.
Big back, big back.
That shit is funny.
Teacher asked him, why did you call her that? He said, and I quote, because I need to tell the truth.
Well, at least he's not calling them European Americans, because that's what I tell my kids they are.
How old is Ash?
Ash is 8. He'll be 9 next month. He'll be 9 on April the 2nd.
Oh, it's a phase. Oh, no. Oh, no. Nah,
I don't know. I feel like, you know, I appreciate his discernment.
I do, too.
I do, too.
I think you brought this problem to the wrong panel of people.
No lies detected here.
It just, I don't know exactly how I'm going to approach this because it's a conundrum.
Exactly. Because again, and I don't even have the whole context. Why are you asking him to go and get her a book?
Oh no, he took the book from the girl.
Okay.
And then put it down. And the teacher said, well, you took it from her, you gotta give it back. And he gave the teacher, I'm black. I'm not a slave. She can get it herself.
Okay, so he was wrong in the beginning.
Yeah, he was wrong. So yeah, okay. Yeah, you can't. I mean, just tell them that you can't take stuff from your classmates. You can't do that.
So, and my mama came over me, but I realized that this wasn't the 80s, and I was clearly gonna go to jail immediately. So I just. And I don't listen. I'm not a fan of beating your kids. I'm not. There is a way that you can discipline your kids, but he was gonna get fucked up.
And what I said last week, make that room cell block T. Give him the TV. You get a lamp and a desk. Do your homework.
He had it. I'm just. I thank God.
See, this is a perfect example when old people have kids. Cause if Troy was younger, this wouldn't even be a conversation that would be broached. That boy would be looking for his goddamn witness protection agency to hide him from the things to come. Now you done got older, now you all timid. Gonna raise some punk ass kids is what you're gonna do,
man.
You know how you can tell when a kid's parents are old. You ask them, "Hey, how old are you turning this year?" And one little boy tell you, "Said the Lord stay the same, 9."
Hey, as a person that had old parents, y'all shut up. My mom had me at
36.
Y'all shut up.
Oh, that shit is hilarious. Well, at least your mom had you at 36. Trey was way older than that. Way.
Hello. You done? You done?
I'm just saying. When he get to high school. You gonna be getting Social Security. That's all I'm saying.
They both gonna be getting Social Security.
Well,
be sending him a check to the house too.
Oh man, Jesus Christ! I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight and listening to Devron and hearing us out. I don't know what Marlo has eaten. But it is crunchy as heck.
That's my bad. That wasn't even food. That was just a bag that the grapes was in.
Yo, I'm gonna tell y'all this right now. It's fucking cold out here in Dallas.
You out that way.
They expecting a hard freeze up here in North Florida tonight. So I gotta go turn on your pipes when I get off this.
That's crazy. They said it's supposed
Wait, hold on, hold on, hold on. I'm finna crash out. I'm absolutely finna crash out. Listen, I don't know if y'all can y'all see my phone? I'm gonna see if y'all can see my phone. Right, where is it at? That thing say 39 degrees in the morning. I live in Tampa.
Yeah,
I need somebody to find me Jack Frost right now.
He up there in the White House, Pete Folsom, the Antichrist. Somebody
need to find you a jacket.
A damn jacket.
39 degrees.
You worried about the wrong thing. You worried about a coat. My God.
Hey, better make sure that Tesla don't freeze. That too. Don't hit it. Start warming it up now.
Oh my God. But I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. I appreciate it. We got to the bottom some things that I didn't really think we was gonna get to the bottom of, and I want to thank Devron for coming on and being the Saint Pete that I knew he was gonna be. You just listen, it's some people in this world that just gonna be them people. If you know somebody from Saint Pete, we pretty much the same. We gonna shoot it to you straight, whether you like it or not. It's just how we is, and I thank Devron for coming on. I got this thing about leading with love, and I made a bunch of jokes tonight because I needed to get off my chest, because this thing right here is therapy. It is absolute therapy. We've been doing this for 10 years, having an absolute ball, and I always want people to be informed, to be entertained, to laugh, and come out feeling good no matter what the subject matter is. If you are from the school that decided to, or the schools that decided you wanted to disparage FAMU last year for all the myriad of reasons that you thought it was your job to make jokes about,
fuck that's yeah. cool. No, that's it cool. ain't. Fuck Hold yeah.
On, let me finish. That's cool. That's cool. Understand. I am not trying to look at you some type of way. It is just my very nature that the institution that allowed me to be in Tallahassee, to learn how to program, to change my entire life, so I ain't in the streets of St. Pete robbing people, I'm going to feel some type of way when you say something about that institution. It ain't personal. But it is. I don't know you not to like
shit me if it ain't personal. Fuck you.
I don't know you not to like you. But understand you rubbed me the wrong way. I'm still going to lead with love. I'm still going to share your wins and rah-rah and all of that stuff. But understand, I'm a little different by what you said. That being said, TP, what you got for us this week, man?
I don't have a lot. I appreciate, Trustee Givens coming in here and giving us the, answering our questions, because, he didn't have to, but we really appreciate that. And, just thinking about the whole, crisis, or if not a crisis, around the Department of Education going away, that was a concern of mine, seeing this out of my next profession. I want to go in school teaching, and just how is this going to affect school as a whole, high school, middle school, college, university, state, public, how is this going to affect things in the education department? Because one thing we have to understand, if we want to be the greatest nation in the world, then we have to have education available to everybody. Our youth are our future. So we say that, we have to invest in the youth, and that starts with making sure that they get proper education and have the availability to it. There's a lot of kids that fall through the cracks because they didn't have the opportunities to pursue a higher education. So I just want to thank them for coming in and answering our questions. I'm hoping for the best as far as that goes. Somber news for Wimby. He was having a breakout year. Still having the struggles shooting the ball, but You know, as far as defensively, there was nobody doing it better. You know, so prayers to him and his family. Hope for a speedy recovery. Hope that this isn't something that's going to be life-threatening, you know, or career-ending. So, you know, with that, I'll see y'all next week. Same time, same place.
Doc, what you got for us this week, man? I think, all right, we might have lost Doc. Jamal, what you got for us this week?
Not a whole lot. As I said earlier, I'm still a little down in the dumps because of my fur baby. Only thing I got, honestly, again, thank you, Trustee Gibbons, for coming on. Be kind to each other as much as you can, and I say that as a not so nice person. Be kind to each other. We all we got in the end. Boats are safe in the harbor, but they made the sail. This time in history, and I'm saying this as a baby historian, is unprecedented. We are, and this has happened before. We're just us, and we have to view it and live through it and watch it. We are not so far gone right now that we cannot save ourselves, but we are running dangerously close. In this portion of Florida, we have two seats that are going up for election in, I think, March and April. If they win, then the Democrats take the House back. So if you know anybody in this area, remind them to go vote. Give them a ride to go vote. I would say request absentees, but the way they're cutting programs and firing people, the post office ain't going to be safe much longer. And for the people that go, I don't want to vote, it don't matter. Too many people died for me to not go and vote. And I'm going to continue to do so while I still can. And even when I can't, then I guess we'll just be fighting in the street so I can again. Oh, I'm Lord Jamal. That's all I got.
All right, Mullo. Man with the plan, best athlete in Northeast history. It's about time for you to end the relay. Bring it home.
I just want to, you know, thank my homeboy for coming on. Like, he ain't have to do that. And especially on a not-so-known podcast to come on and answer some tough questions. And not knowing the crew and cast or the questions that they will be coming from. So I appreciate him being a man of his word and doing that. And I also appreciate, you know, my fellow podcast crew for, you know, staying informed and staying enlightened. Because we can get on here and start talking about a whole lot of stuff that really don't move the needle. But, I mean, we touch on a lot of subjects that, you know, people really need information about. And, you know, you're getting it from some guys that's shooting straight from the hip, trying to be as informed as we can be and put out as much information that we can. And, you know, I appreciate this platform, and I'm just thankful for being able to, you know, get together once or twice a week and put our skills and talents on display. So, you know, I ain't got a whole lot much more after that. Everybody stay up. You know, if you look at the news, it's a lot of doom and gloom, but that's what they tried to do that back in the days, too. You know, the propaganda machine is real. So just see, believe what you see. If you see your neighborhood prospering and people still getting up every day going to work, believe that. don't believe the world coming to an end and the big bad wolf is around the corner. Don't believe all that. Just stay focused. Do what you've been doing. Try to be a better you every day. And that's all I got.
Oh, my bad. Guess my time now.
Yeah.
My bad. I've been at work. Yeah, I've been at work all day. So just let you know, it's that time of the week. It is time for me to alienate a whole fan base. F Slawcorn. That's all I got to say. Oh, God. And we're going to get our lick back to for them damn legless lizards.
Well,
in the tournament.
For everybody.
Wait, are we supposed to be the legless lizards? Hold on, bro.
Yeah, that's what I was trying
to. I was going to say something, but I thought he was going to keep going. But at least we could drink our water.
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and end this because we know about that. Anyway, we're having services for my cousin's husband who passed during the hurricanes. We couldn't have the service because, I don't know. Oh, okay. I don't know. We couldn't have the services back in between the two hurricanes. It was chaotic. It was too much going on. So we're having the service, not the funeral. We're having the memorial service tomorrow. And it kind of, in my family, a passing is not a somber thing. It's a celebration. So I have been privileged. Chris was with my cousin for over two decades, and he was able to bring her joy for two decades. Former Navy man, serves his country honorably, and it just goes without saying that in Black History Month, in a time where they're trying to remove Black military men and their accomplishments from the annals of history, this man took my cousin, who was like my sister, and gave her pure joy for two decades. Thank you, Chris. For everybody on the Gathering Old Men podcast, myself, TP, Jamal, Marlo, Doc, we are out.